God has performed scores of miracles. Can we count on God to perform a miracle to meet our need? Pastor Ray Bentley.
Listen, you can't compare God's plan and destiny for your own life with someone else. God has a purpose and a plan for you. And until he's done with you, you are really kind of indestructible. So what is God's purpose? What is God's plan? That's what we have to look at.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. God's plan for each believer is not one size fits all. God created us as individuals, and his plan for each of our lives is just as unique. And today, Pastor Ray takes us to Acts chapter 12 to see the unique way the Lord dealt with a unique predicament involving Simon Peter.
The title of the message, Wake Up to a Miracle. How many of you would love to wake up tomorrow morning to a miracle? Huh? Acts chapter 12, and this is an amazing story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. And then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, or at least the leaders within the Jewish religion, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. It's like, wow, he killed James, one of the original 12, and the Jews were pleased with that. And so he thought, wow, I'll arrest Peter's another big name I've heard. Maybe that will please them more. But that was big trouble for the church. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, so this is Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Now, God is watching and seeing what is happening to his people. And what's happening now is something really that is new. For the very first time, now we know the original story, and Stephen was a young man, and he got caught up and filled with the Spirit, and he preached, and then he was the first martyr of the church. But still, the church was growing, the church was advancing, the church was multiplying, the church was having miracles, it was spreading, the glory of God was upon them. And now, for the first time, one of the 12, so it's James, not the author of the book of James, but it's James who was the brother of John. John and James were two brothers. They were both fishermen, and they were two of them members of the 12. And so James became the first member of the 12 apostles to become a martyr. Now, up until, you know, where we are right now in Acts chapter 12, the church has been in a streak of success. I mean, they've just been having blessing after blessing, experiencing one miracle after another, one conversion after another. But now, all of a sudden, here we come to Acts chapter 12, and this ugly opposition that is inspired by the devil himself. So they martyr James, and it pleased religiously the Jews. So now Herod goes, oh, get Peter, and they get Peter. And now they assign a high security detail, because Peter's been in prison before, and the story on this guy, word on the street is he escaped. So Peter is in jail, and he has one handcuff to one Roman soldier, another handcuff to another, and then outside his gate, there's two more soldiers there. So Herod goes, I've got this guy locked up. He is totally secured. We're going to find out something different, though. All right, look with me in verses 5 and 6. And I want to just say this. Imagine waking up to a miracle and having an angel as your alarm clock. So beginning in verse 5, it says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So now let me ask you a question. So here we read about Peter. He's got two Roman guys on him. He's got two more at the gate there. If you were in prison and you just heard that James has just been beheaded, and now they've got you locked up, and tomorrow may be your last day, and you might have your head chopped off, how many of you would sleep very soundly? But Peter did. Not only is he sound asleep, but he is in such a deep sleep that when the angel comes to get him out, the angel has to strike him on the head to wake him up. Now that's a, how many would say that's a deep sleep? May God give all of us that deep sleep. May we not be struck in the head, though. So the angel had to give him a little pop on the side of the head and said, arise quickly. Hey, get up. And his chains fell off his hands. And then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So angels were very involved in the first coming of Jesus. May I say that angels at an accelerated rate are apparently very involved near and up to and following the second coming of Jesus Christ. So while the angel comes, he brought light. There was a supernatural light that came into the cell, and then liberty and freedom into the cell. And I want to add, the soldiers had no idea what was going on. They had no clue what was happening. But I want you to know that when the angel did appear, he told Peter to do a couple of things. Number one, he said, hey, Peter, he woke him up. And then he said, now get your sandals on and gird your loins. Now, what is the expression? It's in the Bible a few times, gird your loins, because 2,000 years ago, and in the Middle East, and even to this day, they kind of wear these long, you know, robe-like things, which is great. It keeps you a little bit cool and protected from the sun and all of that. But if you're going to run, you can't run with that kind of a deal on. So you pull up your robe around your waist, and then you tie it with a belt of some kind or a leather strap, and then you can run. So that's the expression, gird up your loins. Now that expression is used in the New Testament that believers, when the Lord is ready for us to run, we need to gird our loins. It means get ready to move, get ready to follow, get ready to obey, get ready to run. And then he told them, you've got, and put on your shoes. Now, here, you know, I'm going to make something, say something that's a little bit obvious, but sometimes you need to state the obvious for it to sink in. The angel did not put Peter's sandals on for him, nor did he tie, you know, gird his loins. When the miraculous comes, even when an angel of God comes, angels won't do for you what you could do for yourself. They will do what they do supernaturally, but you partner with them doing what God shows you to do. Now, Peter was obedient. He put on his sandals. And then he girded up his loins and he was ready to now walk out. So I want to just say this. Peter's obedience is a very important part of the miracle. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's in Deuteronomy 6:4. It's kind of the John 3:16 of the entire Old Testament. It's called the Shema. Every Jewish person knows it. Every Jewish person can recite it and say it. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, which means hear. Shema means to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the word one is Echad, which is a divine unity we spoke of a couple of weeks ago. And it can be multiplied. There can be many in that divine oneness. But Shema, which is translated, hear, O Israel, can also be, that word can be translated obey. So literally the most important verse in many ways of the entire Old Testament, Shema, O Israel, it doesn't mean just to listen and hear information or new teaching or doctrine or interesting things. It means hear in such a way, very carefully, so that you obey what it is you hear. So we need to hear the Lord in such a way as we obey him. And it may be something as simple as put your shoes on, gird up your loins. I'm about ready to do something supernatural. The practical and the spiritual go together. God can do the extraordinary, but we must do the ordinary. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but he asked men to roll the stone away from the tomb. So look with me in verses 10 and 11. Put on your garment and follow me. Verse 9. And so he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Peter often had spiritual, supernatural visions. And I want you to know, Peter couldn't tell if it was a vision or if it was the real thing. It says they went up to the gate, the iron gate, which is locked, which leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. I love this. The soldiers, the chains, the guard posts, the iron gates were all nothing when God was with Peter and when Peter had prayer behind him.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. You may not realize how much your comments mean to us here at Maranatha Radio. They're important. We so appreciate it when we hear from our listeners.
Hello, Pastor Ray. I've been listening to your program for about 2 weeks now, and what a godsend your teaching has been. My story is probably like many others. I knew of Jesus when I was young, but as I grew older, I put him aside. I began to experience problems like emptiness, anger, etc., you know, all the requirements for Prozac. After the umpteenth letdown and several more bad choices, God decided to bless me anyway with the greatest earthly blessing ever, the true and unconditional love of my husband. I want to thank you for sharing the unconditional love of God with your listeners every day.
It's our number one goal to bless listeners and to draw them closer to the Lord as they listen to these studies. So when we hear confirmation of the impact of the program, it's encouraging and provides vital confirmation. If you have a comment to share, please don't keep it to yourself. Write a few words today. Send them to ray@raybentley.com. ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So look with me in verses 10 and 11. Put on your garment and follow me. Verse 9. And so he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Now that's very interesting. Peter's supernaturally being delivered by an angel. Literally it says the handcuffs fell off of his wrists. A light shone in the, cell. An angel wakes him up and he says, put on your sandals. He puts on his sandals, gird up your loins. He girds up his loins. And now he's gonna go out. And what it tells us is Peter thought it was a vision. Peter often had spiritual, supernatural visions. And I want you to know, Peter couldn't tell if it was a vision or if it was the real thing. Now, what I want to say to you is, that's a great place to be. I don't know if this is just a vision that is in my mind's eye that the Lord is showing me, or if it's really happening. How many of you would love to be in that kind of a place? When you walk in obedience, that is what God can do with you, in you, and through you. So verse 10, and when they were past the first and the second guard posts, so they're just walking out, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city. And I want you to look at this. So now they're at the gate. The gate is locked because it's a prison. So it says they went up to the gate, the iron gate, which is locked, which leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. I love this. The soldiers, the chains, the guard posts, the iron gates were all nothing when God was with Peter and when Peter had prayer behind him. So look, many of us worry about the iron gates even before we get to the iron gate. In fact, your iron gate may be the end of the month. Oh no, there's an iron gate coming. I don't have enough money for the end of the month. What am I going to do? And you're worried about what will happen when you get to the iron gate. I just want you to know this. God, if you walk with him and walk in the Spirit, you have people praying for you, you're obedient to the Lord, God will take care of the iron gate. As you walk up to it, it will automatically open and let you pass through. It opened automatically of its own accord. So verse 11, it says, and when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. He's out in the street again. He's out of prison. The Lord does it again. And when he's out, I think maybe the cold night air, he's like, wow, this is not a vision. This is like for real. How exciting. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose nickname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she got so excited, she did not open the gate. The little scatterbrain sister said, oh my gosh, it's Peter's voice. And she just ran and left him at the door. But ran in and announced that, hey, Peter is standing before the gate. But they said to her, you are beside yourself, which is a nice way of saying you've lost your mind. Now, here's the thing. Where did Peter go? He's set free. He goes, I know, I'll go to the house of the people praying for me to get out of prison. So he goes to the house where they're all praying for him, knocks on the door. Rhoda goes, yes, who is it? It's Peter. And she runs away. And she tells all the people who are praying, we want to get Peter out of prison. And she says, hey, Peter's at the door. And they go, you're nuts. We're praying for Peter to get out of prison. I know, he's at the door. Oh, gosh. So funny. Look with me, verses 12 through 19. When God does the supernatural, be ready for an earthly delay. God is answering the prayer, but because of the confusion, there was a delay in the actual answer that would come. So she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness. She did not open the gate, but ran in to announce it. Peter stood at the gate, but they said to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. And so they said, it is his angel. Oh, again. Now that's very interesting. Why would they say that? What did Rhoda say? Rhoda said, I heard Peter's voice at the door. And they said, well, it can't be Peter, even though we're praying for him to get out of prison. Peter is actually in prison. That's why we're praying for him. But they said, oh, it could be his angel. Now, it doesn't go into describe a whole lot, but there was an understanding within the early church that each of us has a guardian angel, and that somehow, some way, there is some similarity of your particular guardian angel to you. And wouldn't it be interesting if your angel looked like you, but was an angel? How interesting. And I think it's fascinating that he, you know, that was their first thought. Now, Peter continued knocking. Poor Peter. Hey, Rhoda, hello. Continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent. I mean, can you imagine when they finally saw it? No, it's him. It's not his angel. It's a real guy. They're touching him and they're screaming and they're going crazy. God answered our prayer. There's Peter. And they're probably, you know, shaking him and pounding on his chest. And he's saying, okay, I'm glad you like seeing me. But he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. Now, this is another James, not James, the brother of John, one of the 12, but this James is James, the half-brother of Jesus, who wrote the book of James, right there in the end of the New Testament. So he said, go tell these things to James, back in Jerusalem, and to the brethren. And he departed, and he went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. I guess so. They go, what happened? Where did the guy go? It's, you know, how did the angel do it? I don't know. And now, what became of Peter? But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. Uh-oh. Wow. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and he stayed there. And we will stop there for just a moment, but I just want to say this. Isn't it interesting how much emphasis we often put on faith? So they're praying for Peter to get out of prison. When Peter gets out of prison and actually is delivered by an angel and actually shows up at the door, knocking on the door, they don't believe. How many times have you been told, hey, man, you got to believe, you got to have faith. If you don't have faith, God won't answer your prayers. Listen, God is going to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, whether you have faith or not. Sometimes God just does what he wants to do and he desires to do and he just does it. We should believe, and I bet they believed in a whole new way after this. But it was the will of God. Now you say, well, wow, this is amazing. Look what God did with Peter, angel, four soldiers, iron gate opening automatically. Why didn't God do that for James? And that's a really good question. And the answer is, I don't know. I don't think any of us know. All I do know is God had one plan and purpose for James, and he had another plan and purpose for Peter, and he'd even told him what his life would be. You're going to live out your whole life. Don't worry about it. You'll be in prison and various things, but you've got God's purpose was for Peter was different than his purpose for James. Now, on the one hand, there may have been a day when Peter said, wow, I'm jealous of James because James has been in heaven all these years ago, and he's been in heaven for so long. I wish I was in heaven, but I'm still hounded and harassed and beaten and thrown in prison and jail. But that's what God's will is for me. So we can never, you know, look and say, well, you can't compare God's plan and destiny for your own life with someone else. God has a purpose and a plan for you. And until he's done with you, you are really kind of indestructible. So what is God's purpose? What is God's plan? That's what we have to look at. The Lord is with you, watching over you. There are angels, and you have at least one appointed, divine, heavenly, guardian angel that's with you everywhere you go. And you ought to know that, and you should be grateful and thankful for that.
Some great encouragement today from Pastor Ray Bentley from our studies of the miraculous moment when Peter walked out of prison. A good look at Acts chapter 12 today here on Maranatha Radio. Now today's study is titled, Wake Up to a Miracle. If you missed any part of the presentation, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. When you're there, you can leave a few words in tribute to Pastor Ray's life and ministry. And under Media, you'll notice three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo, three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights. Plus, click About and find out more about Pastor Ray, and find out how you can come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions via email free of charge. Plus, you'll find other spiritual growth books and resources from Pastor Ray, including his book called As the Days of Noah, a prophetic fiction novel. So many are enjoying the full series called The Elijah Chronicles. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also make a donation right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Acts. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.